I explained to you what an acronym was this morning. I just want to quickly go over it again. An acronym is a pronounceable word formed by the first letter or the first few letters of each word in a phrase or title. The one that is common, that we use all the time, most of us don't know what the acronym is for, is radar. Radar. The police have radar guns. There's a radar at Mitchell International Field and all that kind of stuff. But radar actually is an acronym for radio. That's the first two letters, R-A, and then detection, D, and ranging, R-A-D-A-R. And so that's an acronym that we use as radar. Everybody else says, knows what the acronym for IRS is, coming up April 15th, and you know what AARP is, the American Association of Retired People. If you do a lot of texting, a lot of times you'll go TTYL, talk to you later. POTUS, P-O-T-U-S, is President of the United States. SCOTUS is Supreme Court of the United States. And SWAT is a Special Weapons and Tactics. So I have taken Happy New Year. The outline is not my own, but the meat on the outline is my own. And I've developed a New Year's challenge for us, things that I think we ought to incorporate in our life in 2019. This morning we began by looking at H in happy, and that was hold fast your faith. Your faith is going to be attacked, but I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. Then we looked at assemble with the saints, the A in happy, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We need our battery charges, our batteries charged. You're here, you're getting your intake. We'll have a Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time together, because as we go out into that wicked world, boy, we need to be together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the A in happy. The first P in happy was pray earnestly every day. I get a consistent prayer list from Brother Charles back there, of a prayer list from all over the world. Have our own prayer list here, but prayer needs to be a moment-by-moment activity. And even though the Bible says pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean we're on our knees 24 hours a day. That doesn't mean we're murmuring prayers 24 hours a day. What that does mean is it's like having the receiver of the phone off the hook. So at any instant, as I do oftentimes throughout the day, I shoot up prayers to the Lord, because we need to be, as I said, constantly recurring in prayer. So we pray over and over, different times through the day, and sometimes when I'm awake through the night as well. So then we carried on the prayer theme, pray, don't worry. That was the second P in happy that we looked at. And finally, the why, yield not to temptation. The Bible says very, very clearly that we're, if my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. It's a good thing for us to change the way that we behave ourselves and resist temptation. And that's what we're supposed to do. Now, let's move on to the second word, new. New. It's the second word that we're going to be looking at in the acronym, and the N is neglect not your talents and opportunities. If you have your Bibles, or you can look at your notes, Galatians chapter 6, 1 says this, as we have opportunity therefore, or as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Now, every one of you sitting here, God has given you various abilities, talents, and gifts. And we as Christians have a responsibility to all people to do good as we have opportunity. But our first priority is to be to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it says there. It says especially to the household of faith. I like what one writer said. One writer put it this way. As in a home, family needs are met first and then those of the neighbors. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 through 13 reinforces this. And so if you have your Bibles, because I don't have it written out, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, we get down to verses 10 through 13. It says this, be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. It says, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. In 2019, look for opportunities to come alongside somebody and encourage them. In 2019, look for some opportunities where you can be of help. In 2019, look for opportunities to be hospitable, to exercise hospitality. Pray for someone. Meet somebody's needs. That's something that we should try to do as we neglect not our talents and opportunities as they come to us. We have a responsibility to our other brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a responsibility to those that have needs as they come along the way. It happened to be Maria in Sunday school this morning. I don't know whether the guy was a Christian, whether he wasn't a Christian, but Maria slid into the ditch and she was trying to avoid an accident and she wasn't hurt. The car wasn't hurt. A guy came along and he stopped. He had a rope in his car of all things, a good sturdy rope, and he hooked it to her car and pulled her out of the ditch and went on his way. That's the type of things that we can and we should do as we have opportunity. Now let's look at the E in new. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now there's two ideas here. I do think that you need to be examining yourself to make sure that you are genuinely saved. If you claim to be a Christian and there's no fruit, if you claim to be a Christian and there's not a dried up raisin, if you claim to be a Christian and you're not actively involved in doing anything for the Lord, you better examine yourself. Works don't save, but saved men and women do work and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So be sure that you're saved. I just tell you, some people are trusting in things. They don't remember trusting Jesus Christ. They were little kids, and yet we've heard testimonies recently of those who were saved young, and they remember it. They remember what they were doing and what they did. So you can be saved as a child. It's simple to be saved and put your faith and trust in Christ. But by the same token, some people, you don't have to remember the exact time, but you should remember where it happened and what you did. And if somebody has just told you and you don't have any recollection of yourself, I remember where I was, and I wouldn't have known the exact date except that I wrote it down. I remember where I was and asking the Lord to save my soul, and that's what you need to do. But secondly, I like what the Bible Knowledge Commentary said. It says this. It says, it more likely concerns practical sanctification that's in focus here. Now, let me explain that. Did they demonstrate that they were in the faith? And that Jesus Christ was in them by their obeying his will. To stand the test was to do what was right. To fail was to be disobedient and therefore subject to God's discipline. Now, he tells yourself to examine yourselves, whether you be in this faith, and prove your own selves. If you're going along, if you're doing your own thing, going your own way, a Christian does not lose their salvation once they have it. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. And what does never mean? Never means never. Not ever. No time at all. You can't ever lose it. However, for a believer, when they are outside of God's will, whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. And so God sometimes needs to take us to the woodshed so he can get ourselves back in line, get ourselves following him again. So examine yourself and ask yourself, what can I do for the Lord today? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. And when it says quit ye like men, it means be brave like men. I mean, act like a man if you're a believer. Don't be a wuss, stand for the faith. Examine yourself daily whether you're in the faith. The W, as we come to new for a new year, new is work diligently for the Lord. Work diligently for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Christians are not called to observe from the bleachers. Christians are not called to observe from the bleachers. They are called to be participants in the game. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus save you? Ephesians 2:10 gives us the example. It gives us the answer. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Works don't save you. He tells you that in 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But once you're saved, you're not just to sit and soak and sour. No. He doesn't want you to be wheelbarrow Christians. Wheelbarrow Christians are Christians that have to be pushed. No. We very clearly are told in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you going to do in 2019 for the Lord? Those who are saved are God's, you can like it, you can lump it, are God's slaves. You're God's doulos. You're God's servants. I am. You are. We are to do God's good pleasure. Philippians 3:13, or actually it's 2:13, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God will give you the desire and the power to do what he wants to do. But Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, it says, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. And here it is. Zealous of good works. What does that mean? Eager to serve. Are you eager to serve? Paul again addresses the importance of working diligently for the Lord in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, worthy of so this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou constantly affirm, or affirm constantly is the right order, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto man. God has decided that he's not going to use the angels primarily to promote Christianity. Occasionally, we see sporadic occasions throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. But you know who he wants to use? He wants to use us. And you know who's going to reach the next generation if they're to be reached? You know who it's going to be? It's going to be us. Because we are his slaves, we are his servants, and we are to be eager, zealous to do his work. We are to constantly remind ourselves of that. That's what it means, affirm constantly. And so we need to be doing that. How are you planning to serve the Lord in 2019? I think we really should give some thought to that. How are you going to serve the Lord in 2019? Again, as I said, you know, it's real easy to be critical. I take my wife to five or six baseball games, river baseball games each year. And it's real easy to sit up there in the stand and say, ah, you missed that one. What's wrong with you? You swung at that one and it was way high. You swung at that one and it was way low. Well, it's real easy to be critical of those who are down there in the game. Have any of you ever tried to hit balls in a batting cage? I've tried to hit balls in the game. you know what? There's a lot of people who stand on the sidelines, and there's a lot of people who are critical. And they want to pick. But I want to tell you something. I was just reading Dr. Phil Stringer. Dr. Phil Stringer's doing better physically than he has in his life, and he's a good friend of mine. He wrote on Facebook this evening, he says, I attribute the fact to my good health to the fact that I have been out of the pastorate for 3 years. He said, nobody understands how stressful it is to be a pastor. And he says, I'm not just talking about you know, a specific church in general. He says, I'm talking about pastors in general. And I want to tell you, I agree with Brother Stringer. There is a lot of stress in the pastorate, and when you're dealing with people and when you're dealing with your own shortcomings yourself, there's all kinds of stress. It's much better now, but it was years before I could eat anything before I came into the pulpit. I was afraid I'd see it again, but I'd get so wound tight. Because you're handling the Word of God, and God holds me accountable for what I teach you. God holds me accountable that I tell the truth. God holds me accountable that I just don't fly by the seat of my pants. And it takes me hours of reading and studying to prepare to give you some food so that you can be edified, so that you can grow. Not to mention, I mean, and this is a pastor's life, but I wasn't planning on the two hospital calls to make yesterday. And they came up because you want to minister to your people, because you love your people. And so you have to be ready to serve the Lord, and you have to be flexible to serve the Lord in His time when the need has arisen. So that is the new. Neglect not your talents and opportunities. Examine yourself, whether you're in the faith, and then work diligently for the Lord. And let's finish up now with year, Y-E-A-R, the why. Turn with me in your notes or in your Bible to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at 11, 13, 16, and 19. Y stands for yield your members to righteousness. Yield your members to righteousness. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Neither, five times now, watch this. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. As you can see, the word yield or yield occurs five times here. And the word yield actually means place at one's disposal. It means to present. It means to offer as a sacrifice. Now, you're not to offer yourself as a sacrifice to the flesh. You're not to yield yourself to the disposal of your old nature. But as it says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Our Lord wants us to yield to Him to be a living sacrifice for His glory. The Old Testament sacrifices were dead sacrifices. Now, the Lord may ask some of us to die for him. That may come. But he asks all believers to live for him. He asks all believers to live for him. He wants you to use your mind. He wants you to use your eyes. He wants you to use your ears. He wants you to use your mouth. He wants you to use your tongue. He wants you to use your feet. He wants you to use your hands. He wants you to use your body righteously to serve him. So how are you going to yield to God in 2019 as a living sacrifice? He asks all of us to be living sacrifices for him this year. That means a lot of times putting aside what we want to do and choosing what he wants us to do. That's a hard one sometimes. It's hard for me at least, and I'm sure it's hard for you. So as we Y for yield, that's in year, let's E is exercise yourself in godliness. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. Basically, Paul is saying, don't occupy your mind with empty philosophies and foolish myths that are promoted in the world. There's a lot of those going around. They're worthless. They're a waste of time. Further, physical exercise is of some profit. I'm supposed to get exercise. That helps my problem with my sugars. I'm supposed to exercise. That does profit some, and that's what it says, profiteth little. It means it profits a little. But what is more profitable and more long-range profitability is exercising spiritually. Spiritual self-discipline, running the race of godliness, because it has benefits both now, but in eternity. Now and in eternity. That's what it says. It says, having promise of life that is now and that which is to come. What are you going to do to exercise yourself unto godliness in 2019? You can't live on doing what you did last year. You have to get in the race again of godly living. Let's move now as we look at year the A. Aim at not sinning. Let's look at 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God doesn't want his children to sin. He says this, my little children, these things I write that you sin not. That's our goal. That's our goal. We should make it our aim not to sin. He wants us to live in such a way that we please him. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we can resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. For the first time, when we're saved, we can say no to sin and make it stick. But God also knows that we all have an old nature. As I've told you before, Christians aren't sinless, but Christians do sin less. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Our goal, our target should be, I went out target shooting the other day, and I didn't just pull out my gun and shoot around. No, I set up a target, and I aimed my gun at that target and tried to get as close to the bullseye as I could get. What's as close to the bullseye for the Christian? It's try to be sinless. Try not to sin. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be victorious in that. However, many Christians are living lives in which they are constantly disobeying God. And they know it. They're constantly disobeying God, and they wonder why they don't have any fellowship with him. If you walk in darkness, you can't have fellowship with the Lord. But if we confess our sins, he's what? faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, living in unconfessed sin breaks your fellowship with God. Don't kid yourself about that. A Christian does not lose his or her salvation, but they do lose their fellowship. They do lose their fellowship. Choose this year to conquer your besetting sin or sins and walk in fellowship with the Lord. Hebrews says there is a sin that doth so easily beset us. I know what mine is. You probably know what yours is. When was the last time you really went before God and said, I want to have victory over that besetting sin in 2019? And you got on your face before God and said, I am going to try with the power of the Holy Spirit to live above that besetting sin more than I did last year. Make that your target. When God brings sin to your mind, confess it immediately as it comes to your mind so that you can walk in fellowship with Him. So we have Y, that's yield your members as righteousness. We have E, exercise yourself in godliness. A, aim at not sinning. And then R, the last one for a year. Happy New Year. Redeem the time. You can't go back and get the wasted time yesterday. Ephesians 5:15-16, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Is there any doubt that the days are evil? Man, oh man. Hank, give me a little paper here. That's just filled full of it. All I have to do is turn on Fox News. If I really want to be offended, I can turn on CNN. I'll tell you what. I like the word circumspect. It's the Latin word. And it signifies to look around about on all hands, look all around, to be watchful, to be wary and cautious in order to avoid danger, discern enemies before they come too near or you fall into temptation and sin. The thought is that we are to be careful and take extra precautions that we live as we ought to live as Christian and not as fools. Do you see what it says there? See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Not as fools. There's a lot of Christians who haven't followed Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, but the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Fools are those who live worldly lives, who indulge in foolish pleasures, who take no thought of their accountability to God. I mean, wow. The phrase redeeming the time means to buy it up. Or if you would, make the best use of your time. Don't waste your time. Why? Because the days are what? Evil. The days are evil. Albert Barnes says this in his commentary. There are many allurements and temptations that would lead you away from the proper improvement of time and that would draw you into sin. Such were those that would tempt them to go to places of sinful indulgence and revelry where their time would be wasted and worse than wasted. As these temptations abound, they ought therefore to be more especially on guard against sinful and unprofitable waste of time. Ask God. Lynn and I often pray, and as we plan our days, Lord, help us to use our time to the best possible. Use our time wisely. Early on in 2019, and I think there's some wise stuff in the Happy New Year acronym that applies to me, and it's helpful to me and perhaps helpful to you as well. Thanks for coming out and being a part of choosing the hymn of the year and finishing up the challenge that we started in the morning. And I do wish you a good and godly new year as we serve the Lord together. Heavenly Father, thank you for